Good morning. Welcome to the meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Human Studies. Today we're dealing with petitions that have been referred to us. So I'd like to welcome the delegation from Gauteng, Department of Human Settlement, and the petitioners themselves that are here. There's a few of them that are here. I just want to welcome them and let you know who they are. Mr. Elia Tani is here. Mr. Tumisani Ndubane, Mr. Uthelo Makabuka, Mr. Mike Tutoi, thank you. Umfundisi Ngakane, Reverend Ngakane, okay. No, Boniswa Dlusu, thank you so much. And of course, sitting with them there is Honorable Mshongo, who is one of the MPs that actually submitted the petition. Welcome, sir, in the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlement. We hope you will enjoy and want to come back. We just want to state that according to the rules of the National Assembly, on part 3 of the rules, page 207 up to page 208, which deals with the petition. Particularly the rule 350, which talks about after tabling a petition in the assembly, the speaker must, if it is a special petition, refer the petition to the committee on public finance, or if it is a petition of a general nature, refer the petition to the relevant portfolio committee or other appropriate committees. Now, these petitions that we're going to be dealing with have been referred to us by the Speaker of National Assembly, according to the rule I had just read. So the afuna kukucho kuthi kubantu basekhaya balapha, you might have written the petitions kudala kodwa because of the process ekufuneka ziziyambe azizikuthi direct petitions. Niyabhala ziyasubmitwa zihambe ziye ku-speaker's office, zitablishwe, then after zitablishiwe, then they come to us. So they've been referred to us now by the speaker in the beginning of this year. That's why we are having this meeting today to deal with them. So thank you very much for coming, and we hope that we will be able to deal with them, and you will leave here happier, or at least understanding. Now, our understanding is that you are here representing the people that you've left at home. And therefore, as we dispense with these petitions, you will go back and then give the feedback on the people, because we want to believe that you are not here representing your jacket. You are here representing the people that you left at home. Thank you so much. Now, how we're going to do this is that we will confirm a petition and then allow the department to respond. Because what we had done, we had given the department, both province and national, your petition to go through them so that at the end of the day, when they come here, they know what to respond on. So what we're going to do then is to confirm the first petition and allow the department to respond to that particular petition, and then we have clarities and questions, and then we move. Thank you very much. Now, the first petition, the petition is the Middle East Hostel, Zone 11, Soweto, calling for assistance in acquiring social housing and improved service delivery. This petition was submitted by Honorable Songo. So it's about the issue of the Netherlands hostel. Now, I'm going to allow the Gauteng province to talk to this petition. But first of all, HOD, you will introduce yourself and introduce the delegation that you are with, and then respond to the petition. After you had responded to the petition, honorable members will ask questions of clarity, and then we will deal with that petition. Can we deal with the first petition? The petition you passed, the petition at the Middle East, first step, which was submitted by Honorable Song. HOD, over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for inviting us to deal with the issues at hand. My name is Matilda Casella. I'm head of Department Human Settlements in Gauteng. With me, honorable Chairperson, is on my left is Mr. Stanley Lubengo, who is the regional head in Ekurhuleni. I also have Ntate Walter Milatu from the city of Johannesburg, and I also have Ntate Vulindlela Maphekula, who is also from the Department of Human Settlement, a director in Human Settlements in Gauteng. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. HOD for Gauteng. I just want to make a comment that says to the petitioners, the Gauteng delegation, I kopanga nina ngokuthi ize namadoda amaningi nabafazi bambazi nomfazi, because I see even the petitioners themselves is mainly men, very few women there. So we just want to make sure that they are not coping by doing that. That's not the norm. Thank you very much. Over to you, HOD.
Thank you once more, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I'd really like to start
before
by...
Before you continue, sir, tell us your phone. Let's bring them out. Let's bring you the two phones. I'm going to call you. Why do you call your phone? You're going to call your meeting. You're going to call us. You're going to call us. Because you're going to step back a call. Yes, it's
true. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'd like to start by extending an apology for the MC, who really would have wanted to be here today with us. But unfortunately, MC has had to attend the budget presentation speech this morning at the Gauteng Legislature. However, MC is very appraised of all these matters that are happening, and he has asked us to assure the committee that in the next meeting, if he is required to come, he will really make himself available. On the issue of the petition by the Midlands Hostel, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the issue that has been raised is the lack of housing, and there are complaints about having been on the waiting list since 1996 and 1997. I think on the issue of the waiting list, Honorable Chairperson, we must acknowledge indeed that there are challenges in terms of the waiting list. We do have a number of our beneficiaries who've been on the waiting list for a very long time. That is a matter that the province is keenly dealing with. We in trying to deal with the issue of the waiting list, we've gone through the waiting list ourselves, and we found that there are challenges in the sense that in some instances there are duplications, there are people who've been on the waiting list but who've passed on and so on. We have in that regard sought to clean up our waiting list by, amongst other things, employing conveyancers to just also check what is going on. But we've also had a number of engagements with the deeds office to try and deal with the issue at hand. So in terms of the plans that we have, I was saying that we are cleaning the database, the demand database. Once it's cleaned, and this is a process, we're not going to wait for it to be totally cleaned. But once it is cleaned, we are then going to ensure that the beneficiaries who are on the demand database are then prioritized, Honorable Chairperson. This is an ongoing matter, which, as I said, we've started dealing with, but we've started dealing with it with the City of Johannesburg. We must also say, Honorable Chairperson, that last week, Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, we did go to the Midlands Hostel and other hostels in Soweto, where we had meetings with the residents, and we did inform them that we are looking at some of the projects that have started in Soweto already or around the area. For example, there is an area which is called Flero, or where the City of Johannesburg is busy with a project. We have asked the City of Joburg to start identifying some of the units which can be allocated, so that we deal with the allocation of those of the units, and we're confident that we will then be able to deal with the issue of those that have been on the waiting list for a very long time. In terms of the lack of collection of rubbish bins, which was also raised as a problem, we are aware of the fact that there is a company which is called Pick It Up, which was employed by the City of Johannesburg, and we have been informed that there is a collection of refuse on a weekly basis at designated collection points. We did confirm with the City of Joburg that is still happening, but if for any reason there are still challenges, I think that's something that we can still pursue with the City of Joburg. And then in terms of no water drainage, we are aware that there's existing water and sewer infrastructure in the hostels, but that we also have a program where we are upgrading the hostel, and that is a joint venture between ourselves and the city. I think the other issue that was raised was the bed health hazards, which are caused by spillages in the hostel. And we're saying, Honorable Chairperson, that in terms of that, as we said, there is a program of upgrading the hostels. There is a project where we're upgrading the bulk sewer lines, and we're thinking that it's a start, Honorable Chairperson, but with the passage of time, we think that that is something that we will be able to deal with, both as the city and the province. So in terms of the petitions from the Netherlands, those are the things that we've done, both as the Gauteng Department of Human Settlements and the City of Joburg. Honorable Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much, HOD. The National Department, any addition? Because remember, the issue of social housing and fair is also in the news. So can you say something?
Thank you, Chairperson. We believe that what is contained in the responses here is a collective of agreement, and we've gone on site to also verify that work is going on, and at this point in time, because the petition itself is quite long. At that time, perhaps there were problems, but currently there's no problems.
Thank you very much, officials. And I do want to confirm that I think I saw on Friday when I was going home that the previous day on Thursday, department and the MEC were in the hostel doing some site visits. I think the New Age covered it very well. I didn't know you actually, but I saw you there at Dube Hostel and at Midland Hostel. So I do want to confirm what you are saying, that it did happen. You were at the hostel, whether it was prompted by us calling you here, so you wanted to make sure that by the time you are here, you would have said you've been to the hostel, but at least we see that you had visited them. Honorable members, comments, questions? Honorable Tole, I wish I was not going to call you first, because, you know, this is hostel issue. But anyway, Honorable Tole, Honorable Baker, Honorable Katimeng, Honorable Khurai. Honorable, you are not going to be talking here, Honorable Shongo. Remember, you are not Batman part of this committee. You are here to listen to hear your people. They will speak on your behalf. Thank you so much. And then Honorable Mganga Tabash.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the presenter. And I'm greeting to members, the community members, and the councillors, and the former councillor of Eguru Lane, Ubago Funindlela Maphekula.
Oh, do you know him?
I know he was my friend. Yeah. Chairperson, first of all, what I want to investigate and find out from and understand from the department, when they received their petitions, did they sit down with the petitioner before it was referred to us? Because according to the information, they have sent those petitions first to province, to local government, and after that they send the local government to respond to their petitions. And then after that, it's the processes, I'm trying to get the processes. They follow the right processes. After they receive those petitions, have they corresponded to the petitioner as the province of Gauteng? And another thing that I want to find out, because in Midland, there are some constructions, there's some social housing and the hostel that was developed, which were never been allocated in anybody. What happened to that one? Because it will cover the what you call the issues and the concern that has been raised by the petitioner. This is what I want to find out, because I was in hostel this weekend. I know what are they talk about, and I know what is happening. And as a portfolio committee, before we did revisit that area, we know what the process is, we know the development that is happening. So that's what I want to find out, the communication, what kind of conversation do they have. And the IGR, did they apply the IGR in this the whole process of this petition? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stolle. Honorable Beck.
Thank you, Chair. Just to build on what Honorable Stolle is saying, I'm trying to understand the time frame of this whole process with the petitions. Because this was obviously submitted in 2015, you know, in 2017, there's a lot of time that has lapsed in between. When did the province actually receive the petition? What was done between then and now, apart from the visit that you mentioned last week? What action has been taken, and when before it came to us? Because it seems like a very long time, and I'm sure that the petitioners must have tried to do something else. They don't just wake up one morning and decide today we're going to make a petition. There must have been some other action that was taken in between there. Can the province please tell us what else have they done, and when did they do all this? When did that action take place? Because 2 years is a very, very long time.
thank you, Honorable Baker, Honorable Khurai.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the department for the presentation. I was not going to ask the same question from Honorable Satoli, but maybe the department can actually clarify the procedures where when you started to receive these petitions. Which procedure have you done, and did the petitioner be satisfied, or they were also not satisfied and coming back to you? And so that was that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation from the HOD. My question is in terms of this waiting list that has been there for a long, long time, that I just want to check who is responsible for that in the department. Why is it taking so long to review this list, maybe at least on yearly basis? Because you could find that on those lists, a lot of people are no more there, or they are not even, some of the people are no more qualifying. They've got their own homes, but they're still there on the list. Who is the responsible person? Who's doing that job? So that he must assist us.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the response or explanation from the National and Provincial Department of Human Services. Chairperson, the petition, the original petition that you referred to,
we, the undersigned of Meadowlands Hostel Zone 11, are petitioning the city to intervene in the following. And in the following items, other than what requires three spheres of government, which is the human settlements, the national department province and the province working with their municipalities. The rest is for the municipality to clean the hostels. All the municipalities do that. Most of the hostels were under the province, but the municipalities would make sure that health hazards, collection of refuse, and the water drainages. The city might receive money from Provincial Department of Human Settlement in relation to the maintenance of hostels, but the city also can make contribution because these are the functioning of the city. So In future, Chairperson, it might not happen today, but in future when we are dealing with hostels, not just the Midlands, hostels that we deal with in the country, maybe the national department and provinces, when they come, they should specify that the funding that they give to their metros and other municipalities, what is it that is being contributed by the cities themselves and the municipalities in performing, in providing services in those hostels? Because this is one country, it's one government, it's just three spheres, but it's one government. The money comes from national in most cases, and from their own funds, the cities, what are they doing as cities to maintain and provide services for those hostels? And then I think with the waiting list,
I think my colleagues have said so, but I think what is important now is that the minister have taken initiative to clean up the list and centralize the list and making sure that the provinces have, they clean their list, they monitor, they maintain the list together with the municipalities or the metros or the cities. So I think that is a work in progress, and in future I would like to see that the Gauteng as well, their metros have submitted as they've been required by national department, the metros and the relevant municipalities in Gauteng, and that is being consolidated and is forwarded to the national department for the final consolidation and management and the cleanup and all those processes. That's where we are, and I think it's a countrywide program. It's not only about Gauteng, and I think it will assist our people to be aware of the work, good work that is being done by the minister and the department. And I think Chairperson, I think we can say that we accept the explanation. And we'll monitor the progress. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Memes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to greet everybody from Gauteng. You look very beautiful in Parliament. Chair, what I think as a committee you must note, hoping that the answers will be given to the question by my colleagues. The long presentation from the HOD is quite informing and comforting, that at least the 1996, 99, all those that have been in the list for a long period are attended to. So she even mentioned projects that we have visited ourselves, so we know that that is going to be done. In fact, when we went there, we saw people already being given houses. So which means, unfortunately, you cannot finish everybody in one day, but at least the report that is given does give us. I hope even the petitioners are taking note that at least the department is taking them serious, like it is taking everybody else, not only the petitioners, but all the Gauteng people. Unfortunately, in Gauteng, everybody wants to go there because they can see that you people are giving people houses. You have more RDPs in than any other province. So we want to appreciate that, Chair, but the speed of trying and eliminate all those that were there, 96 to 2003, must always be a priority. I'm quite happy about the other basic services that both the municipality and the province are giving to the people. I think that is what we want. When the portfolio calls the department, they must come and be able to explain what are you doing. Once we hear what you are doing, we are not always fighting. We are friendly people. When you give clear answers, even the petitioners, all the people of South Africa can see that the department, their government, is working. That's why we have seen so beautiful hostels, so beautiful social housing in Gauteng. So we think we note and we appreciate that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, before I hand over to officials to respond, the petition that you are dealing with was referred to Parliament in September in 2015. Now, you all know as politicians that immediately in 2016 you were not in Parliament. You were on the ground campaigning for local government elections. So half of 2016 you were not in Parliament. You were in your areas campaigning for local government elections. So the lapse of the time of Parliament dealing with these petitions and what you are asking is partly our responsibility because we were not in the House.
Now, the petition, therefore, has been referred to us as the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlement beginning of this year. Because you all know that we went to elections in August. And when we came back to the House, most of you were leaving this House very late because we were dealing with urgent issues. No petitions were referred to any committee. Now, the Speaker's office, because the petitions were sent to the Speaker's office, that's why I started by reading the rule book. Petitions were not sent to the committees directly. They were sent to the Speaker's office. So the Speaker's office, after tabling them and doing all the processing, refers them to the committee. So they only came to us beginning of this year. They were referred to us. So we then scheduled them to deal with them today. Now, the question that you want to ask, whether the petitions were sent to local government, sphere, or province, is not really relevant because we're dealing with petitions that were sent to us and the national. But let's start there. So what we have done when we received the petitions is to then take the petitions to the national department to say, can you please deal with this petition so that when you come here, you respond. So what national department did is to then copy the petition to province and local government so that when they come here, they then respond. So in other words, local government and province got the petition this year from us. But what probably you might be asking is, were these petitions sent before, which then is not this process, were these petitions sent before they were sent to Parliament? Had the petitioner sent the petition to province or to local government? But that process is different from what we're dealing with now. Because what we are dealing with now is the petition that was sent to National Parliament, to the Speaker, in September 2015, which then went its own process, and then the Speaker, after tabling it, referred it to us, which is now the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlement. So the time lapse, which I agree with fully, I don't think it's a time lapse that would have happened in a normal situation if there was not that big gap that we had of going to campaign of local government elections. I'm just saying, I'm hoping that petitions that will come to us in future will then, the cycle will be shorter because we won't be having a break of where we will not be in the House. We were not here for almost 6 months, remember, because you were all trying to win elections in the local government. So the petition suffered in that process. So I just wanted us to take the blame as well of the lapse and the long time of the petitions that we're dealing with right now. Thank you very much. Hang on. Now, there were questions that have been raised. Now, the only question I'm going to ask to Honorable Songo before they respond is that this petition, was it submitted to Joburg Metro before it came to Parliament? That's what I want to know.
Thanks, Chair. I can confirm, yes, we've submitted to Region D offices in Baga. I think Walter is aware. We've submitted that even to the province. I think one of the officials is aware.
When was that?
2015.
Okay. Other issue that I wanted to deal with so that we remember, honorable members, the issue of the demand database, which is the thorny issue that we are dealing with, because this petition is actually dealing with what we were dealing with in the last meeting. Because in the last meeting, we were discussing and we asked the National Department to come and present to us the issue of the people that are sitting 96, 97, that are waiting for houses, and what is the National Department doing about that. And National Department came here last week and presented to us how they are dealing with the issue of the demand database. So I think as we are dealing with this item now, let's not divorce it to what we were dealing with last week, because it's the same thing. We raised that question, and we discussed it last week in details because we raised the concern that we have a problem of people that are sitting 96, 97, which are sitting and not having houses, and they've been waiting. And the department came here and did a presentation of how they are dealing with the whole issue moving forward. So let's make sure that we remember what we did last week and what we are doing now. Thank you very much. Eshodi?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you to Honorable Members for the question. The issue of when the petition was received has already been responded to. I think Honorable Member Gabashe also dealt with the fact that in the main, hostels have now all been transferred to the city. So the province is not really managing the hostels, but the city is. What we do is to transfer funding to the various metros and other municipalities. And of course, we do have an obligation also as the province to really ensure that the money that we do transfer is utilized for the purposes. So we still do have an interest in the hostels, and this is why, as we said, we with the MEC we did visit the hostels. What happened after the petition was received? We have it on good authority that after the receipt of the petition, the MMC of Housing at the time of the city of Joburg convened a meeting with the petitioners and sat down with them, and they had a discussion and were also informed that that was not the one and only meeting, but there have been several meetings where they discussed the identification of other projects where they could actually be allocated. And this is when, in the process of them discussing, there was a discussion on Vlieghof, and I think some of the beneficiaries have already been allocated in the project of Vlieghof. But as we alluded in our presentation, there are discussions because city has already identified, even for us as the province, some of the units where some of these beneficiaries will be allocated. There was a question on what happened to units which have been built around the Dube Hostel, in some instances Middleland Hostel, which were built but have not been allocated. And the issue is that that's one of the reasons why we went with the MEC, was because we also at the provincial level have had a number of discussions with Dlamini, Bonginkosi Dlamini of the IFP, who comes to the department as a representative of hostel dwellers. We've had a number of discussions and they did point out to the fact that there are units which have been built but which are not allocated, and what was the plan of the province in that regard. So when we went, we established the fact that the issue with the CRUs which have been built is the fact that the hostel dwellers are saying to us, you've taken us out of where we were staying, because you know they had to be moved to temporary residences while the development was happening. They are saying you took us from our hostels where we were paying probably 20 rand per year for the beds that we were using when we were in those hostels. Now you're wanting to put us in these CRUs and you want us to pay 750 a month. So it's a problem. You know, they've raised issues of affordability. We can't afford to pay for these CRUs that you've now built. But we do want to go. And what has happened is that they have not allowed us to bring, because part of the initiative or the process that we're embarking on is to ensure that there's integration in the community. So we want you to deal away with the fact that these people are hostel dwellers, you know, so it's only hostel dwellers that are going to go into these units. But we're saying, let us in the process integrate community so that we do away with the issue of hostel dwellers. Now they are saying, we can't go in because you've moved us and we moved out of our areas in good faith. So you can't bring other people while we don't have a place to live. What we're looking at is probably to then take them, you know, because if they are saying they can't afford, we don't want a situation where we put them in and then they don't pay. So we're looking at what else we can do. You know, so we will have to go through a process where we do means test and so on and so on, so that some of those people can then go into RDPs, and those that can afford to pay will then be taken into those CRUs. But as we are saying, we will then integrate them with other communities. So there is a definite plan as to what we are going to be doing with those CRUs. In terms of the question about ITR, there are ITR meetings which are convened by the MEC with all the MMCs in the various municipalities. That meeting happens quarterly, but as and when there is a need for it to happen, it does happen. And you know, they all sorts of issues which are common to ourselves, you know, the challenges and so on get discussed. So we do have that that ITR on a regular basis. What are the procedures once we've received a complaint? When we receive a complaint, we obviously, and this applies to the city as well, when we receive a complaint, we obviously have a discussion with the complainants. And I think the issue becomes the issue of timing, because I think we have a situation where complainants want to raise a complaint today and they want their problem to be resolved tomorrow. And it's a problem because it we're not only looking at complainants, as an example, from Meadowlands or from Friendship Town. There are a whole host of people who have complaints on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And we have to deal with those things. But also, there are processes that have to be gone through. You know, some people will come and complain that they don't have RDP, or they've been on the waiting list. And when you actually go and check them, you find that these people have moved. You know, these are people who now have means, who don't qualify and so on. So all those processes have to be gone through before we can then make a determination. But indeed, we do sit with the complainant as soon as we receive. We do have a unit in the department. We have a rapid response unit. We have a service delivery unit. So we really try to deploy our officials to ensure that our communities are taken care of. But as I was saying, unfortunately, we've got communities who are impatient, who want their issues to be dealt with yesterday. In terms of the waiting list, I think that matter has also been dealt with, but the issue is that in the department, we do have a Deputy Director General, DDG Keith Khoza, who's responsible for the issue of the waiting list. Why is it taking long to review? Indeed, as has been alluded to, there are very serious challenges in terms of the waiting list, because if we can make an example as the province, when we looked at our waiting list, when we started earnestly reviewing it, we were told that we've got about 10 million beneficiaries who are on the 1996-97 waiting list. We then went through it to check. We went through the process where we were trying to check those people who are on the waiting list. And in some instances, we found that there were duplications. We found that people who are on the waiting list should actually not be on the waiting list. And as has been said, some of the people have already passed on. So it's a process. We went to the deeds register, the deeds register office, you know, to try and also engage them to assist us. And when we were there, we found that there were really challenges. And so we have now cleaned up our demand database. We've really cleaned up. For example, from a million persons, we now have about 600,000 people on the waiting list. And we're looking at the various projects where we will be able to allocate them. So it's an ongoing process. It's a process that's not going to take 2-3 months to sort out. And I think we know that in a province like Gauteng, we always have people who are coming in, and everybody who comes in, you know, wants to have a house tomorrow. So those are issues that we're dealing with as we go along. Otherwise, I think the rest were really just comments, and we acknowledge and take note of the comments that have been made, and we will endeavour as the province and as working together with our metros to really try and deal with the issues that are at hand. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, HOD. I think two things. One, we would want a commitment from the city of Johannesburg and the province that you will communicate with Honorable Mhlongo on what you have done so far and what you are doing. He submitted a petition. It's only fair that you communicate with him on what you are telling us now. He must not hear it here because we've called you. What was stopping you from letting him know what is it that you are doing? So we would want that to happen. It's an instruction, both to the city and to the province. We will also communicate with Honorable Mhlongo because it came to us, but it doesn't abrogate the fact that you must also do your work. Secondly, we would want, because this is a big issue, it's an issue that is an ongoing. When we interact with Gauteng province in the second term, because you would have to come back to deal with other issues, but in what we would be dealing with you on, we would want progress on this issue as well. Let us know how far you are dealing with the issue. We would want to hear that. In your reports that you submit to the National Department on a quarterly basis, we would also want you to allude on what you are doing on these issues, so that even if you are not here, the portfolio committee is given that information that tells us that this is how far we are. Because remember, you are submitting quarterly reports to the National Department. National Department submits quarterly reports to us. So we would want that. So that people like Honorable Mhlongo, even when they access our documents, which are public, because he is a public rep, he can find comfort in seeing that things that he had raised on behalf of the citizens are being dealt with. So I just want us to deal with this issue in that manner. I also want to believe that because Honorable Mhlongo raised the petition on behalf of the people of Soweto, what we have discussed here, he will be able to go back and give a report back to the people out there that I had written to Parliament on your behalf. This is how the department and the parliament is dealing with the issue. So I just thought this is how we're going to deal with the issue, rather than laboring it up. But I really would want a situation, because Honorable Mhlongo is confirming that the petition was submitted to the city and it was submitted to the province. So because you are here, don't assume that you've done your job. You still have got a duty to interact with Honorable Trump on this issue. Are we happy with that? Okay. Are we happy with that particular issue? Thank you very much. Ma? Bonisanda Sako Lapo. Le petition, I can be your leyako. Yeah. Oh, okay. Petition. Okay. All right.
Jan bingilana noke san bonani ubonisa wadlulu lo ukhathazekile moyeni ngingambona muhle qokile kodwa nje ufihla ihlazo lokukhathazeka ngiyamuzwa nje ukuthi uyakhuluma amuzwa ukuthi uthini one angeke u-apply into ngo-1996 nanamhlanje kusahlelwa uhlelwe iminyaka emingaki one 96 mobala sibala kanjani sibaleni sonke nakuleni 1 2 angithi 3 right uma uzokhuluma ngo 96 bese kuba khona 2003 osezindlini still usahlela 1 angizwa usasho ku 96 u 96 lo akabalwa ndawo into engabe yaphela kudala into engabe yaphela kudala mingakhi imkhuku ezalwe emva kwa 96 HOD hlalo Asimuse ihambani phezulu le ndaba. Ijulile. Asimuse uyithatha kalula. Cause ngingaka nje nga apply nga 56 years manje. Bengi kude ngakanani. Ikhona inkampani engangithatha ngengithenga rent to buy. Makusahlelwa. Lo 96 usiform. Uqale wabo usiform. Wadlula usiform. Kwathi uhambo checka ku computer. Giza ku HOD. Makathi basakhili database. Wadlula kucomputer. Kwathiwa ziveze. Salala kuziveze emnyango. Namapasi nosifomu. Saziveze. Sathi mphethe uziveze. Kwathiwa kenze lutho. Hambe 3.2. Uyosubmitha bashintshe uziveze lo. Bamenze 96. Saniye nakhona eBraamfontein. Konke lokhu. Ayikuthi asikwenzi. Singu 96. Sizama ukukhombisa ukuthi. Siconcern. Kalo 96 ongapheli. Akapheli 96. Uyasho ukuthi ba clean database. Umtswaledi mawuye bar. Uzalwa zolo lokhu before 96. Usezindlini. Kwazi kwakuhle lokho. Bamcline nini yena? Baba balenini ukuthi bangaki? Uma besazi clean database ka 96 no 97. Uba balenini ukuthi are they qualified? Na Because angicabangi ukuthi yesi singabantu izinto siyazidinga. Kukhona umntwana owumfana ozothola indlu ahlale ne-girlfriend. Kukhona intombazana ezothola indlu ihlale nabafana oyenza i-sport. Siyakubuka lokho. Ngingude ngaka, ngimele u-96, ngisho abantu abaselokishini, ngingasasho mina. Kunogogo abanawu-89. Inkinga hlalo, i-transparency kahulumeni ku-allocation ishonile ingcwatshiwe. Ayikho. Uzwa bathi abantu bayangena endlini. Uma ngihlangana nawe, hawu, ndoda usekhona, ngisekhona. Kanti kuyobani endlini? Ukuze sazi, sizobona ukuthi uhulumeni uyasebenza. Uhulumeni ufuneka embule bakithi, embule. Kungathiwa abantu bangenele endlini. Isowethu njengoba inganga. Asingeke sonke sihlule umtswaleli, sihlule uLifurey, sihlule ubani bani longapha. Elirato ufle hofu sihlo abantu bangahlula 96 bonke labo bantu ngabe sisekhona kuhlala ukube labo bantu balandela u 1 2 3 4 5 bangathi 1 27 89 74 because umabhekile umuthi yambuza umuntu athi nizodla ukulala kweni ukulala kwethu kuyikuphi uma ngikhuluma nje uyabona la senikhombisa ayikho inkantolo esingayingena sizama ukwazi ngohlelo lokungena ezindlini ka 96 ukuthi kwenzakalani bongodofile la woruni mathanga la akange kuphuma neqiniso bonke bathi iallocation inational namhlanje uJehova wenza iqhinga ngisenational ngisenational lapho kuthiwa indaba siqala khona 2 weeks ago bengisa region D your check bathi Isubsidi sihlalo ayika approve. Sihlalo bayahlini database. Isubsidi ayika approve. Basho kumuntu ka 96. Uma kule petition siya region D. There was a guy. Umulo, uThepo Mulo. Was working with a wheelchair ngimpusha mina. That guy. Yebo. Okay, that guy, Uthepo, ngampusha, Uthepo eventually bamfaka endlini. He didn't finish inyanga engenile endlini. Azange enjoy indlu yakhe. He died. Kusho ukuthi yingako bethu HOD abanye abasekho, abanye bashonile, kwathi sizofa, sivele estradini, sivele kwamastand, ngani ngoba uclean database. Angazo lifuna ini, sizoyilekelela kuyiclean. Ngiyabonga sihlalo.
Enkosi mama.
ngamuzuzu iyaqala ukuza ukuthi si parliament le petition kodwa siyabulela ukuthi usiphile eluthuba loba sive uhlobo ekudala nezula ngalo nihamba nifuna lento idate iqazululo sithi ke ngokuthina siyabanika iprovince ne dolophu iJoburg ukuthi baqhazulule oludaba kodwa sithi kuzafuneka babuyele kuthi bazosinika impendulo zingaphelanga inyanga ezintathu batsho ukuthi benzani sebenzeni khawusinike mamelothuba sinazo inombolo zakho siyafika ngokuba uze apha nje ubizwe sithi ukhweliswe sithi kuba besifuna ube khona xa usiva into yobana siwuxoxa njani lo mcimbi khasitheke mamithuba eli kodwa bona abeprovinsi nabedolophu bazawuxhulumana nawe nani kuba njengbulapha nje awuzelanga wena wedwa ndiyakuva babiza nabanye batsho ukubana bawuxazulula njani lo mba ukwenzela bake ngokuthina xa sibona into yobana awuxazululeki sibone ukuthi sibheka ngaphi na ubheka phambili akhe sibaneke ke lithuba lezinyanga zimbini ezintathu sibanika zona ukwenzela uba uyawuphinda ukuba ngaba akukho nto yenzekayo siphinde sitsho kuwe sithi kawuphinde ubuye uzosixelela into yobana kwenzeke ntoni na khawusibheke lo thuba kwangoko ndiyayazi uba ngumcimbi obuhlungu lona ngumcimbi onzima kuba kaloku baninzi abantu abalinde izindlu kusukela ngo-96 ndiyayazi le mthetha ngayo yesifom nozivezi ndingowapha erhawutini nam ngokuhlala so le mthetha ngayo ndiyayazi masenje nje ke mama masibulele eli thuba lobana wena uthe wazinika ixesha lobana usinike imbeko singala malungu epalamente ukuba uzothetha nathi masithi ke ngoku okwalo mzuzu siyiphi ithuba yonke le process ukwenzela uba sibone uba ibheka ngathi na mandibulele ma inkosi kakhulu honorable members, officials, if you look at this petition that we've just dealt with, it's the same petition that is petition number 5, which deals with the residents of Orlando, which is the Deep Cloth Meadowlands, because it's the same thing. Because when Umamudu, for instance, besim bale ku petition number 5. But he's or she has already come in because it's the same issue. So what we have then done is to deal with both petition number 2 and number 5 simultaneously. I just want us to understand that. So that we don't think that we are going to go back to number 5 because number 5 and number 2 is the same thing. It deals with the list. So we have resolved both of them. And both of them are what we have resolved on. And siyanicela ma official yenzeni into yokuba kuthiwe kuyanqikelelwana nabantu communication is very key so siyanicela into yobana niyenze la communication lezi petitioners so that they know what is going on thank you very much just hang on honorable Beck.
Sorry Chair, I just want to follow up apparently there was a tender
Just hang on about the tenders. No, don't talk about tenders now. Let's just talk about the petition. I'll come back to you about the tender story. I just want to deal with this issue of how we are dealing with the petition. Yes. Okay. yes.
I was thinking petition 7, Central Joburg is also included in this equation. Because it deals with the title of it.
Honorable Chairperson, I thank this time to present people of my age, people who have seen the bad times and are still in the murky waters without help. They have gone to all the offices. I won't mention the names of the people because I too did the same. But there hasn't been any help. Why a nation that respects the elderly people. But I see that in our new governance, we just dump the old people. And how is our nation going to go forward when it doesn't have the backing? The backing are the elderly people who have been neglected. Some of them have been in exile, and they didn't have luxury in exile. Some of them have been divorced and find themselves now being rejected. How can grandchildren visit a grandmother who lives in a 20 by 20 room and sleep with a grandmother? Because the grandmother is holding the blessings of the old. Then how are the children going to be blessed? And I found it very painful when I had to go to Sisulu, Luthuli offices, and everybody was just passing the buck. Go to so-and-so. Go to so-and-so. I don't have that luxury, just like everybody of my age. They don't have that luxury of driving a car to go to Sisulu, go to that office. They are using the very same grant that they have to buy pap and spinach in order to survive. Now, I plead to this body that for a change, have a heart. I was given, I'm one of those who were given a paper that says I am qualifying because of my age, and I have to have the preference of having a house. I have it here with me. I am representing people. Pardon?
Yes.
And I went even to the NEC's office of housing, and I was told he's going to call me, even today. I'm waiting for that call. There are many people that have been buried of my age. Should they not have what they were yearning for during the old regime? Pardon? I'll summarize.
Okay.
Now, I am pleading to the Parliament that please give a chance to the elderly people. Some of them have been in exile. They come back and apply for special pension. and they are neglected. I'm one of them. And I don't know whether it's a gender thing, because my ex got the special pension. Because I'm a female, I'm not given a special pension. I'm pleading. If I have the special pension, then I'll be able to stand on my feet. These other women too will be able to stand on their feet. I'm pleading to the House that pay attention, please, to the elderly.
Siyabonga mam umama ungakani ke ikwangumfundisi. Ukho sakhuluma siyakuva uba uthini na. Impendulo yami izawufana exactly nalena bendisho kumama uZulu. Uba umcimbi lona wenu siwujongele ngqalelo. Kwaye sizayimonitarisha iprovince. The city of Johannesburg, ukubana ihamba iyomathi ngalo mba. Siyabulela nje ukuthi usiphele uthuba. Wasinika nale mbeko yobana siyipalamente uze uzothetha nathi. Ipalamente yabantu lena. Silapha nje into yobana sonyulwa nini. Yiyo loo nto silinika ithuba into yoba abantu bazothetha nathi xa benezinto abanganelisekiyo zizo. Siyathembisa ke ma into yobana we will make this follow up. But also both the city and the province.
Thank you.
We are committing them.
Thank you.
Siyabonga ma.
Thank you.
Nkosi kakhulu. Ndizifumene amaphepha akho la atshoyo. We will deal with the province and the city on them. I've got them with me. Sinazo nenumber zenu, we will communicate with you as well.
Thank you.
Nkosi kakhulu ma. Honorable members, we have dispensed, therefore, of the all three of Honorable Msongo's petitions, which is petition 2, petition 5, and petition 7, because they were all almost dealing with the same thing. Thank you very, very, very much. We know that you might be wanting to, I hope you don't have a committee meeting today, Honorable Msongo. But if you have, you can now run. Thank you very, very much.
Sorry, Chief. Honorable Liz, there were some answers which we received that I wanted to do a follow-up on. For example, the DG mentioned the means test that they're going to conduct to determine the affordability. I want to know when is that being done. She also spoke about the CRUs and the affordability. I also want to know, was there a discussion that took place before those residents were moved out? Was there a common understanding between the residents and the department before that process was embarked on? And also the contract for the person who was, because there was money allocated for the cleaning up of that water, of the spillages and the drainage system. Was that done? Is it in the process? Can we have status of that, please?
Honorable Baker, I have concluded on this issue by saying the both the province and the Provincial Department of Human Settlement, in its quarterly report, it must give us a status of all these things, because I don't want them to suck up the information right now. They must give us in writing the status report, which will then become part of the report of the quarterly report of the National Department, so that we can deal with the report that is written. That's what I said. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, can they please note my questions in the compilation of that? And if possible, can we have as an annexure to that report the waiting list?
Thank you very much. That takes care then of the three petitions. Can we agree that we are taking care of the three petitions? We're done with them. And then we are going, I know what you want. Okay. I'm closing it up here. Yeah.
So the attachment of the waiting list, because, yeah, please.
Remember, they are cleaning the list.
Thank you.
That's the report that is
going to come. So it shouldn't be a decision of this committee.
No, but you must not open it up for discussion.
Okay.
Because they, the province is going
no,
to...
No, I just want to be clear. So that's what
I don't know why you want to open it up. You understand? Because the province will be writing that report. Okay. Thank you so much. Now, we are dealing with the petition from the backyard dwellers of Phumulong, Ward 12 and Ward 13, in Ekurhuleni, Ward 12 and Ward 13 of Ekurhuleni. Tatu Magabuka ukhona nanga. Andizokunika ke tatu baundinika petition. Bakaqala baphendule, bayayazi petition, bayibonile, bayifuna sifundi. Sizabanika ithuba balaba ba respond and then apha berespondile uthi comment zakho. Okay. And this is why I have the document number. Kuluma nge petition from backyard dwellers of Phumulong, Ward 12 and Ward 13. Number three. Okay. HOD, we're dealing now with the backyard dwellers of Ward 12 and Ward 13. Remember, this petition is an old. It's something that has been even Mr. Mapiagula will knows about this situation of Ward 12 and Ward 13. It's something that has been going on and for a long time.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. In terms of the petition by the backyard dwellers of Phumulong, Wards 12 and 13. There was a meeting which was held with the backyard tenants after receipt of the petition. And the meeting was held on the 14th of August in 2012. There was subsequently a public meeting which was led at the time by the Chairperson of Human Settlements Oversight with the community of Phumulong. At the time, it was to inform the community that a service provider was appointed at that time to conduct an occupancy survey. The service provider was then introduced to the community so that the community got to know who the service provider was, so that there would be no challenges as they commenced with the survey. Another public meeting was then convened in October 2015, which was led by the MMC from Ekurhuleni, to present findings of the survey that had been conducted by the service provider. The survey confirmed that there were problems with the services in the wards that had been mentioned, and that the forum would be accordingly kept informed. A qualifying test was done with the backyard dwellers, and after which there was a proposal of a development. The first development would have been at Bashley North, which would have consisted of 1,440 rental housing opportunities. There was a challenge, Honourable Chairperson, because the community of Bashley then objected to the development, as a result of which there was a delay. But another project was identified, which is Clayville Extension 45, which would consist of 1,420 rental housing opportunities. That is the status at this point in time, that we have identified those two projects. But as I said, the one of Bashley was a problem because of the objection. The project is going to be running in phases, Honourable Chairperson. It will go on until 2021-22, but the projects have started. The basic services, the planning and the basic services have already started. but we are envisaging it that to be completed by the year 2022.
That is some of
that is
cost. Okay. Yeah, we'll like that. Ndiyafuna ukutsho into yoba lo mcimbi wabantu abahlala ngasemva ezindlwini okanye i-backyard dwellers ayingomcimbi wasephumulong kuphela. It's a national issue. Siyafuna ukubulela kuwe into yobana uzise phambi kwethu. I-petition le ingaba yasephumulong kodwa ilizwe lonke liyakhala ngale nto. Xa sisenza i-oversight visit siye Free State sidibana nayo le ngxaki. Siya KwaZulu Natal sidibana nayo le ngxaki. Siye Eastern Cape ikhona le ngxaki. Kuba into eyenzekayo amathuba amaninzi xa kusakhiwa izindlu kujongwa abantu abahlala emikhukhwini kuyekwe abantu abahlala ngasemva ezindlini. And siyayazi ke le nto kuba apha eKapa umzekelo abantu bakhona bade bathi nifuna side siyohlala emikhukhwini na ukuze nisakhele izindlu. Yiyo loo nto sithi kuwe siyayibulela le petition kuba sometime last year siyile committee we even dealt with this issue. Saze sathi i-department mayisizele nepolisi izoyipresenta apha on backyard dwellers because those backyard dwellers are those people who actually follow the law. Balalela umthetho. Babhatala i-rent kubantu abarenta kubo. Bahleli pha. Baya-abhyuzwa zii-landlord. Kodwa thina singabantu engurhulumente sihoya aba bantu ba-invader umhlaba. Siyeke nina. We agreed last year, if you remember, honorable members, into yobana kwi-development nganye there must be some allocation that you are saying this percentage is for backyard dwellers because they will never get houses ukuba ngaba sileqa abantu abakwi-informal settlements kuphela bona singababoneleli. We agreed on that and yafuna ukuyithisa loo nto leyo. So ithi le nto because I remember this challenge at some point nanikhe nafuna nokwenza umbutho wenu pha ninomsindo obana anihoywanga nazifumisele umbutho wenu kuba mhlawumbi uyawuzwabhekele le nto yenu. I remember even at some point into yokokubana nanikhe nafuna nomatsha. So yingxaki ekudala ikhona le. Now I'm saying therefore ibalulekile kuthi because njengoba nilapha nje you might think nina nizele abantu basethembisa ephumulongo kodwa whatever is going to be decided here inomthelela kumntu wonke womzantsi Afrika ohlala kwi-backyard. So bendifuna uyazi ukuba uhlobo elubaluleke ngayo le petition for thina na for abantu bomzantsi Afrika na for i-department because yinto lena ekudala siyixoxa kodwa ngoku njengoba nilapha nje because xa siyixoxa siya siyixoxe ngathi mhlawumbi siyithethe emoyeni akukho bantu bazayo. Now that ulapha Tata Samora uzoyithetha ngomlomo wakho umele abantu abasayinileyo abangaka mna ndiyavuya ndingusihlalo wale komiti because nathi sinika ilunda namandla ukuthetha with authority ngoku yobana bakhona aba bantu kudala sinixelela uba bakhona aba bantu napha. Thetha ke Tata Samora.
Ndiyabulela sihlalo and nokujabula xa uthetha kanjalo ngoba enye eqinisweni from 2010 ndikhumbula sasubmitha i-proposal letter yethu kutata umemisi ese-emisi e-Gauteng. Yewe yena mam loo nto ke ngoku iyasihambisa kabuhlungu kambe isithema sithola i-report from human settlements sanenjabulo sabona kune-something enzekayo. Ngoku into besifesene nayo ke mama ufuneke siyibeke njengobinjalo. Sisafesa nokuthi abantu because i-report endiyiphetheyo ithi e-Eden Park ibizoqala ngo-2016-2017 financial year. So abantu babhizi babuye bathi kanti kwenzeka ntoni because nantsi iripoti ibhaliwe ngoku siku-2017 ziya ku-2018 kodwa sikaboni iqalayo. So ke ngokuba buhlungu ke ukuba sikhokhela abantu abathi bona we are willing to pay rent because mothi yaku RDP bathi don't qualify because any more than 3.5. Mobuya futhi uthi ufuna bank ndicela unibambe ngemali ukuthi wathi no don't qualify because why? The money you are earning is not enough ukuthi uqualify for going to a bond. Now ngiproblem esifesene nazo la kuma background dwellers. Sinabantwana like for example ngizekelo ngami ndinonkosikazi nabantwana bayi 3. Oyiwani umntana ndiye namsekhaya. Ireason ukuthi 18 years old. Akuna privacy enokuthi yenziwa phambi kwakhe. Nda decide ukuthi umntana manje umsekhaya kugogo and iproblem sika face nayo. Esike ekhaya akekho umzali ofuza amike direction ondimo. Umntana manje lapha esebenza ematrucks because akekho umzali futhi bayamguide empilweni. So ke kuyenzeka mhlawumbe ukuthi awuswelekele ngumuntu ekubhekroom. La muntu ufeze mocela ungcoba umuntu wakhe ubuye uzothenga ibhokho or igusha uzohlamba lomsi. So zizinto esifesene nazo. I-PTF ke Phumla Hotels Forum sithe xa sitshek ukuthi kwalapha kubaxeshi kunabantu abadala ogogo lomkhulu abakhona abanganazo ama-RDP houses. So sasithatha ukuthi masibaaccommodate nabo kwenze uba sibe yivoyisi eyi-1. So into esijongene nazo ke esihlalo ngabantu abadala manje esijongene nabo ukuthi laba gogo more than 60 years, 65, 70 years esinabo. Besicela ukuthi please mababhekelelwe nabo kwama-RDP apha. Yebo inantuka iyatsho i-report ithi kunabantu abadala futhi nababhekelelwe pha eclavin. So siyavuya kakhulu ke ngokuxa ngaba nyani ithatha ingqalelo because isimo esihlala phambi kwaso asikho mnandi. Ndiyabulela.
Enkosi Tata Magaboka. Ma-official, i-backyard dwellers, they are not saying they want houses for free. They are prepared to pay rent. They are paying rent where they are staying. But the problem is that, one, as you had to correctly said so, they don't qualify for RDP houses because they earn more than 3.5. Mm-hmm. But they don't qualify for a bond because they are what we call the missing middle. Mm-hmm. Now, that is why every time when we call you in this committee, the provinces, we ask you about the FLIS program and the social houses because these are the areas that this category of people should be allocated on. Now, we do want them to have a commitment from yourselves. And remember, when a project is getting delayed, you said it's going to start 2016-17. You had communicated, and now it's delayed. It is on, the onus is on you to go back to the people and communicate, to say, that project that was supposed to start in 2016-17 is not starting anymore. Because remember, parcels of land that Makapa, that sometimes CSC is Swahili market for what is in. CSC is our tenga. Kamanyama kasha utis in a position of Kumba Yamba Kakushi, umnikazi womhlaba angavumi nomhlaba wakhe. Ajikendleleni athi akasawuthengisi umhlaba. Yenye yezinto ke sijongene nayo sile lisebe le-human settlement loba umhlaba wokwakha izindlu sithenga imihlaba kwabanye abantu aba-owna umhlaba kwenzele basokwakha izindlu. So, xa kukho ezo challenges ma-officials, go back to the people and communicate. Don't just keep quiet because you see what happens, most of the things, problems that you create for the politicians is lack of communication. Communication is the key. Hambani niye bantwini. Sanukuboyika abantu. Ukuba ngaba iproject iyadileya, buyena abantu niyobaxelela ukuba iproject iyadileya. So that we don't sit with people that don't know what is going on. But the second part is that Magaboka is saying, kwa bantu abadala pa. About over 60 years. Which obviously then we need to go and check because remember that Makapa Kabandu, Abaza Kaju, I system, Ubanga, I quite manage the RTP, why King? Okanye, Una, you are Pastor Kakona, why Kawakela, because the program, Kahulumendi, Dobana, Nobama, our Kaufmanen, the Maoishman was Lunatan, the Maoishman Eastern Cape, Auzo Kwazu Pinu, Ishmane Houti, which men of Bekani, is Kahulumendi. So i-system iza kumkhava umntu bangaba wayifumana indlu ngaphambili. Because ibe into esiyifumanayo into abantu abaninzi bethu. Kufumana indlu emonti okanye eQonce. Ahambe ashiye eQonce abheke eRhawutini entombini yakhe. Ayohlala khona. Ahlale phaya iminyaka. Phaya akasela ndawo ohlala. Sicinga bathi nangumntu ongenandlu kanti wayeyifumene indlu karhulumente aphasuka khona. Ibe yingxaki ke leyo. Kodwa zizinto ezofuneka zithekishwe ngama-officials baziklirishe into yobana aba bantu bahleli phaa ba-over 60 zange bakhe bafumane izindlu langaphambili. So there are two categories of people there now. There are backyard dwellers that are waiting to get rental stock, but there are those that are over 60 years that at least we need to see if they qualify for RDP houses that must get. Can we have that process? And this also takes us to the same process I've outlined before. That says, you officials must be able to deal with these issues and communicate to us and to the petitioners themselves. But let me allow the honorable members to make some comments that Makabuka Zabuyela Kowe Tube, but Benfuna Nje, ama officials awubambe lo mcimbi kwenzela ba siyazi bakase uvala suvala ka kuthetha bese kuqalela inwani. Honorable members, let me start with honorable Mganga Cabashe, honorable Shelembe, honorable Soli, Malatsi, honorable Baker, honorable Gadme.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, ngifuna ukusho nje ukuthi iprovince ayisebenzise izinhlaka zokuxhumana zomasipala. Ngoba ibona abaxhumana namakomiti. Iprovince won't be able to xhumana ukunikeza ama-report, ama-projects all the time. If leyo project, iprovince ayiyenzi yona direct ne-community. Imali iphuma kumnyango ka-national ize kumnyango weprovince, iprovince ithatha imali inikeze le project, inikeze imetro leyakha lezo zindlu. So umsebenzi wemetro kamasipala noma umasipala lo obhekelene nalo project ukuqinisekisa ukuthi kanye ngenyanga noma kanye kotali noma kanye ezinyangeni ezintathu ukhona umbiko oya kuleyo community yakhe lo project. Ingakho kunama ward councillors, ingakho kunama PR councillors mangabe icouncillor lisashonile noma imupho omunye ucouncillor uceba obhekile lapho. Kwakukhona izinto kwakuthiwa ama ward committees azaphela, kuno steering committees kwaze kwabakhona, kwakukhona i development committees. Namhlanje kunama ward committees arecognizwa policy kahulumeni asemahhovisi ospeaker bamasipala balabo metro abakhalizi zindlu nomasipala. And ayikho iproject engaqhubeka ingareportwa kwikomidi elimele leyo community. So it doesn't mean ukuthi ama-officials will go every month, every week to the community. It can't happen like that. But once quarterly, the report must be there and the councillor is aware, and then that structure, that ward committee, report to the community. The problem sometimes, now our communities, our committees are sitting at meetings, officials will be brought to the community hall, councillors, everybody, provincial and all the officials, and then the committee itself doesn't go and report to the community. Our committees now must take responsibility. But my point here, Chairperson, the municipality must take responsibility in this project. It goes with the money, what is their contribution on these projects, and what are they communicating with the communities. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think the difficulty with the position we find ourselves in is we deal with everything retrospectively. And by then, the damage has already been done. But there's also an operational loophole here, Chair, that had there been that responsive communication from either the municipality and the province, we would have saved all the resources that we have spent convening this particular meeting in particular, but also the time that then allows the portfolio committee at this level to do its job. Because what we're also doing now is we're filling in for the Gauteng legislature and for the committees at metro level. That is the one thing. The second issue is when it comes here, suddenly they are all glossy answers, right? And that does not mean that those answers might not be accurate and all the stuff. But if you had been on the other side, you're the petitioner, and there hasn't been the level of answers that they are getting now when they've made all these efforts to communicate since their first correspondence, it can make one be skeptical. So I think the message that should go to the officials is the high-level responses they give us should not come to us because we are now Parliament. The initiators of the petitions and the correspondence deserve that response at the same time so that it is consistent and throughout. Because I don't think the expectation from the initiators of the petition is that they do not understand how the wheels of government in any environment move, that sometimes they move slowlier because there has to be compliance. But the issue of being sincere in responses from the onset can eliminate a lot of the issues we are now dealing with. And lastly is the issue of integrated government relations, Chair. And as much as these projects, the implementing agency might be at a local level, the reality is that the monitoring of that project is consistent. It's not a once-off event that happens at the time there is a major program, a major problem that you can then intervene and you reduce the bottleneck, is that there isn't periodic monitoring of this, and that goes hand in hand with the communication, because many of the responses that we are hearing here, you know, as people who are active in our communities, if you are on the other hand, we can fairly accept them if we get them at the time that we bring these problems, you know, to these structures of government. Because it now comes at a situation wherein the impression is created that only we get to get, you know, the accuracy of the answers because it is Parliament, you know, because the level of accountability is key, is higher here. But they should also be accounting to the community who are the immediate and the interface of service delivery. So I think that, Chair, you know, should be emphasized. I know our role is limited to this stage, but the two other spheres of accountability, they also come to the party as we do. Many of these elevated issues could be resolved then. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malatsi. Honorable Baker?
Chair, I just want to speak to the waiting list once again. So the allocation here is, or the indication is, there will be 1,420 or 440 units that will be made available. So I would assume that with on the process that the department has embarked on, they have come up with a proper, credible waiting list of those backyard dwellers, and that an audit was done of that. When we get future reports on the progress reports, can we please have that list attached as well with the allocation or whatever the status of the recipients? And then, Chair, once again, just to point out the time frames. This petition was received in 2015. We're now getting an indication that there will be units available in 2022. From today, or from the date of the petition to that would be about almost 10 years. And I would imagine there was a process before that as well. It's just the time frames that people are having to wait. And as the reference said, who knows how many of those recipients will still be on that list, will still be alive when that when those units are finalized. So time frames, Chair, I think we need to really do something about the time frames that in the provision of housing. And as a department, a national department, we need to look at that very, very crucially. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Baker. Who's next? Honorable Shalembe.
Yeah, Shalembe was overtaken.
Is it? Sorry, Honorable Shalembe.
Yeah.
Because you are sitting at the back.
No, I'm okay. You know, even the disabled man waited until Jesus came and said, okay, you are safe. Chair, I didn't get well at Lafamauchi. People who are just adjacent to the land, I mean the owners, they don't want, I mean, that project to progress. So now, but I didn't get the reason behind. What are the reason for that objection? And two, what is the way forward? What is going to happen then? Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Shelley, I could answer that one for you quickly because that's where I stay, but that's fine. Honorable Kadumeng.
Thanks, Chairperson, once again. The HOD made mention of the identification of land, especially north, and that the community objected to it. I just want to get more reasons for the objection part of it. What was wrong with that land? And then again, halfly covered by one of the honorable members about the completion of the, as we appreciate that you are going on with the phases in terms of these projects of housing. But as I'm counting from now, leaving 2017, going to 2022, really, 4 years to come. Those people that will be listed there, some of them will be dead by then. Really, we need to fast track. What is the problem? Is the problem of the budget, or what is it that is taking so long? So that this process must be done quickly so that people must get this housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gatimeng. HOD, are you responding to, or are you giving other officials to respond? Are you responding? Okay.
I thought I would respond.
That's fine.
But I'm sure where the answers are inadequate, they can then add, Honorable Jobbik. But starting with the last sentence, the last question, Honorable Chairperson, housing developments are complex. So you can't go onto site and start building and finish, after 2 or 3 months. There are issues of planning that must be gone through before a top structure can be put in place. So before we can actually start with the construction of a house, we have to ensure that there's going to be water, there are bath services, there's electricity, and so on and so on, so that by the time we start the house, we know that if we are going to finish it in 3 months, we'll then be able to connect. People are going to be able to go in, and they'll be able to use the toilets, there'll be water, there'll be electricity. However, we have said that the construction will start in 1819. Once the planning processes have been begun, they will start in 1819. Of course, we have to look at what budget we have, because there will never be a point where we have the budget to do all those 1,400 units at a go, because there are other projects that we're dealing with all over the province. But if we say completion is going to be in 21, 22, we're not saying people are only going to start staying in those houses in 21, 22, because we do the development in phases. So for example, the constructor might start with 100 houses in 3 months, So once those 100, 300, whatever the number is, have been done, people will then be able to go into those houses. One of the things we're doing, Honorable Chairperson, in responding to what was raised about the province not being transparent is that as the department we've decided that as we build, even as we start the construction, we will then identify the beneficiaries that will be allocated, so that as the foundation is put in, the person who's going to go into the house already knows that this is my house, this foundation is a foundation for my house. It deals with a number of issues, including issues of security, because we've got problems where communities invade houses and so on and so on, and sometimes they just go and steal things which are being used to build the houses. So we're going to go to the various communities and put a waiting list so that even the community knows that these houses that are being built here are being allocated to this person and that person and the other person. So we think that way, the issues of transparency are going to be dealt with. The reason why there was an objection to the Beshley North identification of land is because the owners in that area are saying that the development that's coming is going to devalue their houses. So I think it's a normal thing that happens in all the developments that we have. I think in respect of what Honorable Malachi has said, I think we have shown that once we received the petition, we did convene a meeting with the community. And that was not the only meeting that we had with the communities. But I think we have to also appreciate the fact that something that we've already said, our communities are impatient, and for understandable reasons. So our communities expect to get given answers yesterday, but we have tried to have meetings with them, so that they know what. But we also take note of what the Honorable Chairman has said, that probably we need to communicate more with our communities. And I think the point that the Honorable Gabash also made, the fact that you have recruited structures in communities, and that we need to make use of those communities so that the communication is always aligned, so that at every step of the way, the communities know what is happening. So we take a note of those issues. Just the last point from my side is the fact that Honorable Chairperson, a decision has been taken that in all the projects that we do, 8.7% of all the projects must go to the backyard dwellers. So that's a decision of the department. Is a decision that we will be implementing, just to make sure that indeed we do take care of our backyard dwellers. Yeah. It is reminding me that this matter, in response to the Honorable Malachi's issue, that even the oversight committee did deal with the matter. So we have been dealing with the matter and with the committee. But we take note of the fact that we will use other structures so that at least they are always informed of what is happening. Thank you.
That house, I can't So can you say someone Mabu bears and then it is very good. Two departments mind something out of get about what they have. So it's not like a mecos.
No, Chairperson, I think actually the petitioner has raised it that we must not look at the patient in isolation, but Glavy is also accommodating the people from Kenya. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The workers, please don't disturb my meeting. and welcome to the meeting. Thank you so much. We're done now with petition work 12 and 13. We are going to the petition yase Villa Lisa. Let's deal with petition at Villa Lisa, where number, and that's my intent. But it's number 6 in the petition. Villa Lisa, petition in informal settlement, Ward 99, where we are talking about the issue allocation of capacity houses to Ward 99. Now, you'll see that in the list as well, but I'm not allowing it because it's different from the other, in a way, because it's another method. But I'm sure we will deal with it soon. We are Ward 99. In terms of this particular allocation, we did follow the policy.
we however acknowledge, Honorable Chairperson, that there might be areas where you know, some misdemeanor happens, and when we get pointed to that direction, we do take action in that regard. But in this case, we did check, and we are convinced that we allocated in terms of the policy, and that the people who were allocated, excuse me, were the rightful beneficiaries. There was also an allegation that foreigners and people who come from outside of the area are also occupying housing. Reiterate that the allocation was done in terms of the policy. We do acknowledge, Honorable Chairperson, that in some instances we grant beneficiaries housing because they are rightful beneficiaries. And after that has been done, you find that in some instances, our own beneficiaries sell the houses either to people who may come from wherever or from foreign nationals. Before we hand over the houses, Honorable Chairperson, we do have consumer education where we impress upon our beneficiaries that they can't give away the houses without seeking permission from ourselves, but also that they can't sell the houses before they've lived in the houses for 8 years. It's a very difficult situation, Honorable Chairperson, because in some instances we do find that even after having done that, we do have those cases, but we encourage communities that where those cases exist, they should then be brought to our attention so that we deal with them. But in this instance, Honorable Chairperson, we are convinced that the right thing was done, but we still maintain that if there is any misdemeanor that we might not have been aware of, that it be brought to our attention and then we will deal with it. There was also an allegation that the CLO benefited more than one house. But in terms of the HFS system, we found that the particular individual only benefited one, but we still say if there's proof that something happens that you are not aware of, that we should then be made aware so that we deal with the situation. For the Villalisa people who are on the waiting list, Honorable Chairperson, there is a development which was launched by the mayor, I think last week Monday, which is called the Leoport development. So we have identified that one. Construction is going to be starting very soon, and it's going to be done over a 7 year period. Again, we are not saying that the people will only be able to live there in 7 years. Those that the house that will be complete probably by the end of July, maybe we will then be able to allocate the houses. What we'll do, Honorable Chairperson, is that in our report we will then say we will tabulate the time frames exactly when what will happen. Yeah, that's in terms of the Villalisa. I don't know if you want to ask. No, you don't point into the fact that there are other stuff which are pointing to what's going to happen when, in terms of the time frame. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, let me take this opportunity to thank the to thank the community for inviting us to be part of this meeting. I will try to be very, very short to cut the story, to make it very short and clear. Kunje, in the Baya Sevilla Lisa, yes, I agree. We held a meeting last year, it was by October, with the, together with the public protector. But what is happening in Villa Lisa? I'm here today to represent the community of Villa Lisa. I just want to make everything very clear. There is misallocation in Villa Lisa. There is corruption in Villa Lisa. In Villa Lisa, the people of Villa Lisa, we don't know. It's a crisis in Villa Lisa because we as the community, we don't get any kind of help from all the department. That is why I was so happy when I got invited by the National to come here to represent the people of Villa Lisa. So all I'm trying to say, I'm going to put all the proof on the table, and then I'm going to ask the members of the portfolio committee to deal with this matter right away. Because what is happening in Villa Lisa, you will find that you applied 2006, you're still on a waiting list, and then you have been challenged. Someone who applied 2012, then is given your house. So what is happening in Villa Lisa is very clear. So I don't want to go to say many things about Villa Lisa. So into a corner, Lapa, Nivuma Konke, we've got the issue of subsidy. It's a problem in Villa Lisa. The issue of a beneficiary list, of which today, as we speak, last year, 86 houses were damaged by the community. And then the government lost about 1.2 million, according to the previous MMC. And then it's all caused by our official from housing. Because when I'm talking about this thing of beneficiary list, you know what happened before? It was on 2016, yes, last year. Before the community vandalized those houses, the official from housing, Albertine, they did came to the community having three different lists. And then the first list, it was just a small thing. Yes. Yes. Yes, number one, he lays the Now, when I'm sad, I'm going to
ucinga lendlu isongikhonde kancaso mina laa mntu wokufika uthenge indlu kumntu wapha naw into sinayo ke into yobana urhulumente uyavumelana andazi noba uvile na nomongameli xa ebethetha isona uthethile ngalo mcimbi esithi kuzawufuneka bafundiswe abantu ngokupheleleyo ukuba izindlu ze-RDC zizindlu esizinika abantu bababe nendawo yokuhlala mazingathengiswa umthetho uthi awunakuyithengisa indlu ungahlalanga iminyaka eyi-8 funeka ube ne-8 years uhlale endlini phambi kokuba uthengise kodwa lo mthetho abantu bayawophula yiyo le nto umasipala iprovinsi kunye nathi kufuneka side ezantsi ebantwini siyofundisa abantu ngokupheleleyo because le nto esinika ingxaki abahlali bona bacinga into yobana aba bantu ezinzima njengorhulumente kanti aba bantu umntu uzethetha imali yakhe emozambique uzethetha imali yakhe enigeria uzethetha imali yakhe ezimbabwe afike athenge indlu apha kum mna kuba ndingenamali ndifunausintana esikolweni ndithengise indlu karhulumente nge-3000 wena ucinga uba laa mntu indifumene urhulumente bathumela ndiyekuloo ndawo ngumcimbi ke lona okuzwe lonke efuneka sidine ngayo okwesithathu endifuna sivumelandasikani intoba bathi abantu bakarhulumente kuneprojekthi eseliyo eprojekthi phanga seprizin ezawuqala apho abantu basevilalisa abanye abasewaiting list abazafakwa phaa sezazindlu siyavuma ke asikwazi ke ngokuthina apha kule ndawo ukuphendula semesithi gakatha sivume into yobana kune-corruption eliphaeliyokoda because asikho phaa ithi i-department ayikwazi improva le nto because yona ngokwazi kwayo wonke umntu osendlini into qualifya okwesibini i-CLO ithi i-department unendlwenye nithini na nezindlu zethu asikwazi ke ngokudlula apho kwalo mzuzu side sikwazi ukubheka phambili kodwa esikuthethayo thina koko kuba abantu eyandibalulekileyo phaa into yoba abantu basevilalisa abali-waiting list abalinde izindlu bazawualocathwa kulaa projekthi umeya ebeyivula kule veki phelileyo ekuthiwa yiyobot utsho u-HOD uyakhomitha kananjalo ndiwakobenza ngolo hlobo naw into ebalulekileyo ke ngokwapha uyavuma wayakazikala into yobana nimoshe izindlu zikarhulumente eziyi-86 ezakhiwe ngemali yabantu basemzantsi afrika ezakhiwe ngeetaksi zabantu phofu nifuna izindlu kurhulumente ibalulekile ke tatukani into yobana xa ngaba silungisa izinto zokuhlala abahlali kunye norhulumente basebenzisane ayizokunceda nto into yobana limoshe ezisezikhona izindlu kuba licinga into yobana loo nto izakwenza bazijongwe intoi njengeenkokheli zasebuhlaleni ezipha evilalisi funeka ndincedise urhulumente ukuqinisekisa into yobana ezisezikhona izindlu azimoshwa kuba kaloku xa zimoshwa uyayithatha xa uyayichaza uthi 1.2 million le mali imoshakeleyo pha ayo mali ke leyo ekhiwa emthini yimali karhulumente ikwayile mali funeka hakhe ezinye izinto ezifunyaka abanye abantu masincedisaneni ke singabahlali okokubana singamoshi ezisezikhona izinto kuba xa simosha ezisezikhona izinto ayithembi ukuthi loo nto leyo ingxaki yenu izawukhawulezisa into eniyenzayo nisibuyisele umva abakugqibela ke tatukani ungxaki yenu beniyise ku-public project andithi u-public project ke wayibuyisa into emi sivumelana kananjalo into yoba ekugqibeleni laa mcimbi ayingumapublic project ngowe-department of human settlement ngale funeka ndikhesi umcimbi ke ngoku uphepha kodwa sibulele thina into yokokubana nina ningabahlali kumele bona apha wena unjalo ndalokazi ukwazile ukuza apha kuthi sithi ke ngoku thina into ebalulekileyo lunxibelelwano phakathi kwamasipala njengoba ndibetshilo ndi-onarezumanayo phakathi kwamasipala phakathi kweprovinsi ukuthi sithethe kuvalwe ngabahlali nathi ke sizawujonga lo mba ungasibona sifika nathi sasaheshobasiyena sithe sikukhangele batatukani sithi singamalungu ekomiti sizokhangela uba kwenzeka ntoni
Abantu basekuruleni abaphethe i-human settlements amawushishana azawuza to go to the police station and lodge a complaint for corruption.
Before you come to the call, Mr. Bitoli, the officials will penetrate in the same way. They are going to respond and then we'll come in. But very quickly, because we need to understand what's going on here. Mr. Bitoli, you stay there and that's your informal settlement.
Well, Chair, no, I'm actually chairman of the CPF in Springfield.
Oh.
That's how I'm involved.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Because of the crime, all right.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman. I think the issue that they have felt people is the fact that they were promised that they would be relocated in 2015, but that has not been done. The issue that we have is that the farm that they are occupying has got challenges. Besides the fact that it's partly owned by the Ekurhuleni municipality, but it's also the land also belongs to a private company. It belongs to African and Western mines. But also the site itself has got slimes, and I think some dolomite as well. So because of the challenges that land or those pieces of land have, we're not able to do an institute upgrade of that particular thing because the feasibility study was done and it was then discovered that we will not be able to upgrade that particular area. So we've now planned to relocate them to the Gaspani old location mega project, which is now called Gaspani. So an alternative site has already been identified. Design and engineering processes have already been begun. The municipality has already budgeted for services on the land for 2018-19, and then there will be construction. So Honorable Chairperson, in short, there already is a site which has already been identified for us to resettle the people from this area, Transbelt, because of the fact that we are not able to upgrade the areas at which they are now. So budgeting processes have already been done, and it's something that we will be doing in the next financial year. Thank you.
Mr. Detroit,
Mr.
Before you speak, the informal settlement that you are here on behalf, the department is unable to upgrade the city because of the challenges that we are hearing and the fact that it left, not necessarily the government left. So, that means those people need to be located to a new project for a kind of location, which is the only itself to take time. So, let's hear what you want.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. First of all, let me explain. I think the initiators of this petition came from the area of Straatsveld, which is a suburb of Springs, and Daggerfontein, which is a suburb of Springs. The concern of these people really was that the informal settlement was growing and not stopping growing. I've been chairman of the CPF in Sector 2, under which the settlement falls, for probably 10 or 12 years, and I've been chairman of the Spring CPF for 6 years now. So I found that whilst we have
CTF meetings and we call for, we have meetings with the various communities and so on, and I think I'm there to discuss crime, but I have found that behind crime always follows service delivery. It's just turned into a major issue in the CTFs, and we find that we have to handle this. This particular issue appeared on my agenda for the Sector Crime Prevention Forum. Every single month it was brought up by the residents of Castlemaine, of Daggerfontein and Strasbourg. Because if I go back to the settlement and I found the population, I estimated the population of the settlement about 3 to 4 years ago, I did an estimate, and the population was then around 3,000. The latest estimate is 6,000 people. I actually drove around the settlement yesterday and had a look, and it has grown in the last, it must be 4 or 5 months since I last went into it, and it has grown. It's probably bigger than that. And, I would like to just take you through the background to these, this problem, because it's not purely a problem
don't
of...
Don't take us through the background, Mr. We don't have much time. We don't have much time.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to deal with is the current problem of human settlement, which you have already explained, and which you have already picked up through your work as a CTF chair, which we want to appreciate. Now, one of the big issues that you are raising, one, is the fact that that area is growing. There is no control of the fact that that informal settlement is growing. So, which will the department need to deal with? Because that's a problem that we are having all over. But the second part is the issue of the service delivery in that area, which they've already explained that because of the area itself that the one is, it's not the land of government, so they need to relocate. But because you are saying that settlement has been there for a long time, so we need to find concrete plans now from them. How are they dealing with that issue? Without giving us the full details, because the issue here is when are they able to deal with that human settlement, which is a concern of the residents of the place there and the area around there, which we have already done. So don't take us to the background as much, because it's not going to help us right now. But I have there's something particular around us.
Yeah, I just want to, the point I would really like to, bearing in mind everything I've heard here this morning, very important point for these settlements is the fact that of those 6,000 people there, about 2,000 of them are foreigners. And it's the foreign component that is growing. And it's not just true of this settlement, it's true of all the settlements in Springs. And the problem that causes it to grow is the illegal mining problem. So it's one thing to say we're going to move these people somewhere else and build houses for them. What are you going to do with the foreign settlers? Because now we have people pouring in from particularly Basutoland, Lesotho. They seem to be the most involved with mining, as well as the Zimbabweans and Malawians we do find involved, and the Lesothos are particularly prominent. And, you know, I don't see how you can just uplift these people. I understand the provision was for 350 houses or something. You're not going to accommodate 6,000 people in 350 houses. So the problem is bigger than that. It's not going to be an easy one to solve. And I think you must take cognizance of this foreign issue. That's one that concerns me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You raised an issue that has started as a national government issue and as a human settlement that we need to deal with across the board, the government, both the Department of Mining, both the Department of Home Affairs, police, and Sector Police, but we're taking notes. But let me hear from it. So, whether the matter we can close this. But it's a very critical issue that we need. We will have to at some point have an intergovernmental meeting with other policies. Yeah. Honorable Baum, Honorable Chole, and Honorable Gatino.
Quickly, Chair, even in the previous presentation, we had the problem of foreigners that are in that are in these houses. And even here, it appears there's still this problem persists. What I would like to find out from the department, once they hear of a house, or do they ever do hear of a house that's been allocated or that is occupied by a foreign national, what do they do? Do they just say, oh, these people have been sold this house by a South African, therefore we are going to be complacent with their private key? Or do they take up the matter at all? Because that person, in fact, has violated, both of them, they've violated the South African laws and things like that. Also, the ones that Mr. Du Toit is talking about are the people who are from the neighboring states who are wanting to do some illegal mining, he says. And I don't know how the department handles that situation. Could they please expatiate and tell us how they handle that? Hmm?
Can I stop? Thanks, Chairperson. Let me first start by commending the HOD and the department for the work that they are doing. I think on this matter, you've got already plans in place, and then you are in a working progress. And with Mr. Du Toit, the one that was just presenting to us about the petition, I just want to get to the deepest part of this problem, actually. Because when you start presenting, you make mention that this area is next to the, you will correct me, to the urban site. I want to check whether the problem is of downgrading the houses that are nearby in that urban site, or the real problem is really for these people that they really in dire need of this housing. Because as HOD was presenting, really, there is progress. And she already mentioned that there is a problem on that site. That is, there is a dolomite, something like that, which is a health, it's a hazard to those people there. So there is progress in place on this one, and I see even the time frame is not too far. So let's get the real problem. Is the downgrading of the house, the urban housing, or what? Thank you very much.
So that we can accommodate the people that are there in the area.
this was also agreed with the municipality. It does not take away the plan of the Taka Fontein to say we will then be able to move the people that are staying in the area. There was also a question that talks to what happens when we find out or when we hear or about the selling of houses and so on. In the department, there's a unit that is called anti-fraud and corruption. You would know that when there's an accusation like that, we would not go and say this house clearly belongs to this person and you get information if they want to hide it. But the anti-fraud and corruption in the department deals with it and they get involved with the authorities as well within the project. And I think those are the issues that I can respond to.
If I can be allowed to add, Chairperson, to say that in terms of the growth, the 6,000 that Ndati is talking about, it doesn't mean that when we relocate, we're going to relocate all those 6,000. We will definitely look at who qualifies. And those that don't qualify will then have to find alternative means of accommodation. There will not be the problem of the department.
Very much, Officer. I think we need to appreciate the fact that the issue of this former government is becoming a national problem. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we can't run away from the fact that it does go hand in hand with crime. Because once you've got a very contested former president, crime inevitably takes place. That we appreciate. And also, we also are aware that in many informal settlements, you will find people of falling on the top. Because that's where they would go, because that's where they would find the place to stay. So these are the things that government at national level must deal with. And I think this is what they are grappling with. So we're hoping that the IMC, Mr. Chairman, will handle this issue. Because it might come now from places, but it's something that is happening all over. So it's something that we need to find a mechanism of dealing with, not necessarily for those communities, but on how we deal with this across the country. So we would love to, when you come back to us, to give a progress report on how you deal with this kind of issues. Obviously, Mr. Detroit, when government decides to allocate housing, the people that are not coming from South Africa will not qualify for housing. So we will not be able to give them housing. And therefore, that's one area then that we, when the relocation takes place, that's how then we need to discuss how we then deal with those that don't qualify, because we're not going to give them housing anyway. But remember, there are those that are when we find out, because most people that are coming from other countries, they are supposed to be allocated on the rent, you know, the rental store, because that's where they can housing. But most of them will go to informal settlements because there is a way of making accommodation. But it's something that we will be looking at, and we, as the portfolio committee, we've been to Ekurhuleni before to do oversight, we've been to Gauteng, but we don't rule out us going back there because we know that we have seen a lot of areas that we need to go back to them. So we might get in touch with you, even individually or as a committee, when we want to go to come there and do the inspection. I stay in Ekurhuleni, so I might even come one weekend there and just communicate with you, and then we can, with Mr. Pitole and Honorable Mayor, we are all coming from out there, so we might have to, that's why we can have an association and see exactly what is happening. Thank you very much. The last petition, Honorable Members, is coming from Friendship Town. This petition, they are calling for us to do an investigation. Now, I have invited Mr. Dumane here to come so that he can reason that we are not dealing with it. But the fact of the matter is that this
problem that took place even before Eko Ruleni and the Metro came into being. This is a situation that took place when there was still the Tabong municipality, long before the amalgamation of the Metro. Yes. Now, the investigation is in progress. There is some report that is in the report, but it is not complete. So, but I didn't want Mr. Ndibane to think that the petition came and wasn't doing anything about it. So he, I beg him to come so that he can appreciate that we are dealing with it. But it's not complete yet, Mr. Ndibane. That's why I'm dealing with it last. So the department is still busy with the investigation, particularly the last part, because remember now, Eko Ruleni was not Eko Ruleni at that time. And therefore, the province is still dealing with this thing. They are promising to come back to us with a full report in about 3 months from now, because it needs to get into details about these sales and everything. But having said that, we appreciate the fact that you brought this in front of us. And remember, this issue also took place even before the whole social housing came into being. So it's a very complex issue that we try to get into the bottom of it. And we promise that we will then, we might have to come back to you, probably give the report of the Eko Ruleni and the province, go back to you to give the report. We will communicate with you once they've completed the report. But we thought, not us calling you here, you would think that we are not doing this matter. It's not complete yet. It's still work in progress. So that's why it's in the plan. So it's not a complete report. You've got the report in your file, honorable members, but it's not complete yet. It's still work in progress. Yeah, this is still dealing with the code, the national, and the law. So I deliberately put it on the agenda so that we don't get lose sight of it. And we kept on, we don't have it on matter behind it. And yet, if we had dealt with it and said it's such a problem, then we would know that it's something that you must ask, how far is that? Yeah.
Chairperson, I think we note the explanation, and I think it's proper for us to grant department time to look at the matter thoroughly and be able to come back. What is important is what you said earlier on, that when a petition writes, someone writes, a resident or a citizen writes to you, you respond by writing as well. That's what is important, and I think the department, what you have explained, they must explain it, that it comes from the old blah, 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 or even looking at it to revert back to you, and then constantly we'll receive the matter and monitor the process. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the matter, we should close the matter.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ndibane, okay, we got some of the women around the house. Yes,
I
know.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Can
I speak in English? I'm happy that this matter is actually being looked at. I must firstly also thank the HOD. We met with her last month, and she's also done a good job to actually get it back to the agenda. But I must also put the grievances of the people of Friendship Town to say Eko Ruleni is the reason why 94 families were evicted. They didn't come to the people to say, these grievances that you have are not true. Here's the document, so that people could understand what was happening, number one. Number two, they didn't come to court when the court summoned them to say, these people will be evicted. They are your problem. What do you do with them? Instead, when families were sitting outside for 3 months, they offered to move those families to a repatriation center which was housing xenophobic, victims of xenophobia. So we're not getting any serious interaction with Eko Ruleni. However, I'm glad that the investigation is happening, because there's only three things Eko Ruleni needs to answer to us, and we would be happy knowing which is
those answers have come. Why was Friendship Town sold? They're saying that that place was meant for commercial development. We have not disputed that. We never said it was meant for RTP. But we said that it was meant for rent to buy. This is an HSS form I have of one of the residents who was the last person to be evicted. Clearly saying she's got a subsidy. She's got a right to be an owner in Friendship Town. And she's evicted today. Ekurele must tell us why was Friendship Town sold. Why particularly Litabom, Komati, and Indlovu sold and not Limpopo? Why were the people in Limpopo given personal titles which meant that they are still owners today in the same complex which was built on the same time? If it was in fact that it was a decision of Ekurele to sell, can we get a council resolution that says that it is right for the place to be sold? Who authorized the state? How much was made out of that state? What happened to that money? Because we were told if you rent... Yes.
Look at that part right. We know all the things that we are raising, because we've written them.
Yes. That's
exactly what it's doing. But also, remember, it's critical that we keep you in the loop. I'm very happy by the fact that at least you are alluding to say the HOD network.
Yes.
That makes us very happy, because that's the most important thing. In all the progress that has been made, they need to make sure that they keep you this, they give you the information and progress before waiting for the end of the investigation. We're very happy about that, it should be keep up, so that at least the people of Friendship Town know what is going on while the investigation is going on.
Working together with Palestine on this one, I think HOD, we need to have a working session so that will formally submit the progress report to the
Chair. Ekurhuleni is not here, but they are going to have a working session on three spheres of government to make sure that this issue is dealt with. When we communicated with you, you got our conduct there from our office. So now you know how to do those of balance. You are one of those people that have access to balance. But thank you so much. And we will also be keeping tabs in, because they must also give us a report on how far this investigation is. Thank you very, very much for coming. So we will wait now, because it's not going to help us to actually want to discuss this, because it's too big. Thank you. That actually takes us to the last, that was the end of the petition. That takes us to the end of the meeting in dealing with the petitions. And I do want to make a few comments to one of the members to say, actually, you must try and enjoy this kind of meeting, because that's exactly what Kathy, who has been elected for, to be able to interact with the citizens and be able to hear their concerns and be able to at some point forget that you howl at each other there in the house and be able to do this. Is real work of public representatives. Thank you very much for reminding us that this is what you are supposed to be doing, interacting with the people on the ground. Thank you very, very much. And we hope Mr. Biden will see you soon, but the rest we hope that we will see you down there and back home with that process. Thank you so much. That takes us to the end of the petition. Not the meeting yet, the petition. The last item, you can speak, just very short. The last item is the minutes. No, we finished. Okay, the last item is the meeting of the 28th of February, which we must have adopted. It's the minutes where we're dealing with the consolidated party and the housing demand that has been. Where we're dealing with the housing demand that has been, that is the department that is presenting to us.
Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Dr. Khan,